When I was a kid, I loved playing sports. I played all sorts of sports, football, basketball, tennis, swimming, to name a few. And if I were to categorize what kind of athlete I was growing up, I would say I was pretty average. I was not the best, but I was not the worst. And so because I was an average athlete, at times I would find myself in the starting lineup, playing the game or most of the game, but other times I found myself on the bench. That there was someone who played my position that was better than me, and so I was the second string on the bench watching the game, hoping to go in. But whether I was in the game or whether I was watching the game from the bench, one thing I always wanted to do was be in the game. I wanted to play. I wanted to participate. I wanted to be a part of the sports that I loved so very much. I bring this up today because I believe, though not intentionally, sometimes we put Jesus on the bench. We put Jesus on the sidelines in our daily lives. Now, I say this not to be judgmental, but more observational, and more to share that I think many of us are missing an opportunity to include Jesus more and more in our lives. You see, we put Jesus on the bench. We limit Christ's presence in our lives because we often say or think that there are certain things in our life that are spiritual and there are certain things that are not. We say going to church is a spiritual act. Praying is a spiritual act. Doing some sort of work in and through the church is a spiritual act. But other things like our jobs, or our families, or even something mundane, like going to get the groceries, we look at these things as things that we do apart from God, things that we do separately from Christ. But what our scripture reading today reveals to us is that everything and everyone that we meet or interact with is an opportunity to do God's work, is an opportunity to be Jesus' disciples. In our scripture reading today, we hear from the book of 1 Corinthians. And the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And many of the books in the New Testament are actually letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to churches that he started. And this particular letter, he writes to the community of Corinth. And in this passage that we heard today, Paul sort of lays out his strategic plan for doing ministry, how and why he does the things that he does. And he says some very interesting things, some things that I want to take note of. Sort of the theme and the mission of his scripture reading is this, is that he has become all things to all people. Paul says that when he's interacting with Jews, he becomes a Jew. That when he's interacting with people outside of the Jewish law or Jewish custom, he interacts with them as one outside of Jewish law and Jewish custom. When he's interacting with people who are weak, he shares in their weakness. You see, Paul is not limiting his ability to do ministry or who he does ministry with or when he does ministry. Again, he says he becomes all things to all people. Paul believes that everything he does and everyone he interacts with is an opportunity to do God's work. What if we had the same attitude? What if we had the same belief system that our walk with Jesus didn't simply include those things that we or other people deem as spiritual activities, but that everything that we do is an opportunity to do God's work? That we could look at every situation we're in, every person that we interact with and say, maybe God is asking me to do something for him in this moment, in this time. You see, if we believe that, if we do that, our lives become so much more meaningful. Our lives become so much more purposeful. So often we feel like we're just going through the motions. We feel like we're just doing the things that need to be done, but there's no greater meaning or greater purpose or greater plan. But what if everything that you do could be part of God's plan? What if everyone that you interact with could be ministry? I believe Paul's example teaches us just that today. One of my favorite stories is a story of when John F. Kennedy, the former president of the United States, was touring the space station before they put the first man on the moon. He was going around and he was meeting with all sorts of different scientists who were brilliant and working on all sorts of incredible theories and were beaming with pride. He was walking along through the space station until finally, when he was walking down one corridor, he came across a custodian. He bumped into this janitor and he asked him inquisitively, as he was sweeping the floor, "Excuse me, what's your job here?" The janitor looked up at him with pride and said, "Mr. President, my job is to help put a man on the moon." You see, that particular janitor understood that even though others might think his work is mundane or simple or unnoticeable, he understood that his work was part of a greater mission, part of a greater objective than simply sweeping the floor, that by keeping the space station clean and efficient, others could do their jobs better and bring a man to being closer on the moon. And I think God asks us to have the same perspective. God asks us to be all things to all people, to be ready to be his disciples and willing to be disciples in all that we do. You see, being a disciple of Jesus doesn't simply mean serving in our churches, although it does, but it also means being a disciple of Jesus when we're parents, when we're spouses, when we're grandparents, when we're aunts and uncles, when we're employees, when we're interacting with the cashier at the grocery store, when we're pumping gas, when we're going for a walk and we see a stranger coming the way, other way, offering them a kind word. You see, in all times, in all places, we are called to be disciples of Jesus. This has been a particularly difficult year in so many ways for so many different people. And one of the reasons it's been so difficult is because our lives have dramatically changed. Because many of the things that we used to do or that we got a lot of purpose from doing, we're not able to do anymore, at least in the way that we did it before. And this has caused a lot of people to feel a lot of despair, a lot of sadness, a lot of understandable grief that they're not able to do the things that they loved to do before. But what if we still have a purpose? What if God is calling us to continue to be his disciples even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of trials and setbacks, that there is still work to be done? One of my favorite books I ever read is a book called A Man's Search for Meaning. And it is written by a psychologist named Viktor Frankl. And Viktor Frankl was Jewish, and he survived the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. And he wrote a book about his experiences. He wrote a book about how he had a wonderful career as a psychologist, great family and friends, that everything was going wonderful, and then all of a sudden, it was taken away. It was taken away and he was thrown in the worst place imaginable, where he watched many of his fellow inmates fall into despair. And he began to think about what his different options were when he was in the camps. He saw certain people fall into despair, but he also saw other people continue on. He saw other people continue on and not give into despair, that even though they suffered greatly, they still moved forward. And he tried to, as a psychologist, figure out what the person fell into despair didn't have than the person who was able to continue to go on. And he came up with one word, purpose. That people, even in the camps, were able to continue to find purpose. And then he went to go on, after he survived the camps, to work with all sorts of survivors, all sorts of people who had lost family and friends and experienced unimaginable atrocities and tragedy. And he counseled them to once again find purpose. See, life is not always easy. Life is not always predictable. In our lives, we experience suffering. Sometimes happy days are not the days that we always experience, but one thing that we always have at our disposal, if we're willing to look for it, is purpose. The question then becomes, what is your purpose? What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to be? Who is He calling you to be a light to? The answer to that question, you don't have to look very far. You won't find it in a book. You won't find it by Googling it. You find it by simply looking around you, looking around at the people and the opportunities God has placed before you. And I believe with all my heart that every person who still has air in their lungs has purpose. Because you can pick up a phone even if you can't leave your house. You can write an email even if you can't leave your house. You can donate to a charity or a cause even if you can't leave your house. I've watched people in nursing homes who have suffered greatly, who don't have a lot of physical abilities left, but they still light up a room when they come into it. They still touch people's lives with their hearts and their love and their joy. It may be simple, it may be small, but it's always purposeful. And that's what I want you to take away from our scripture reading today. That the Apostle Paul didn't simply look at church time or missionary work time as the time to do God's work, but he saw that God was using him at all times to spread the gospel. And once we give our life to Christ, once we commit ourselves to him, God seeks to do the same thing through us. So may you look and discover God's purpose for your life. May you know that that purpose may change because life sometimes changes. But if you're still here, if you're watching this video right now, I know from the bottom of my heart, God has a purpose for you. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to pause and think and reflect about what discipleship really looks like. That it's not simply about what we do on Sunday mornings. It's not simply what we do by reading our Bibles, but it's what we do all day, every day. Please help us do things as Jesus would do them and help us share his light with all those we meet. In his name we pray. Amen.